we are up to goodness and faithfulness. And my sermon title is The Goodness and Faithfulness of God. There's a song which I'm not going to attempt because I couldn't remember the tune. I know the tune, but you have to be in better voice to sing it. And it's called I Won't Complain. And the songwriter says, I've had some good days. And I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds are low, I can hardly see the road. I ask a question, Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me, although my weary eyes, they can't see. So I just say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain. The Lord has been good to me. He has been good to me. More than this old world or you could ever be. He has been good to me. He dried all my tears away and turned my midnights into day. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord. He has been good to me. Has the Lord been good to any of you this morning in here? Do we have a testimony? You know what a testimony is? I know they don't say this little song we says, do you have a testimony? I've got a testimony. I know we don't talk about testimony lots of times in the very traditional services, but let me tell you, having a testimony is saying something good about what God has done for you. When you think of your life, the writer of this song thought of his life and says, God has been good to me. And that gives us a testimony, doesn't it? Testimony, not just when we go to court to testify. We could have a testimony in the church talking about the goodness of the Lord, what he has done for you and for me. And has it been perfect? I've been thinking today, as we talk about the goodness and the faithfulness of God, how many of us in here have ever gone to bed without food to eat? There may be one or two of us who have gone to bed. I don't mean when we're on a diet. Because I've gone to bed without food because I'm on a fast or a diet because I'm trying to fast out the pounds before I go to the doctor. I don't know about you. You're so perfect, you wonderful people. But I'll be fasting for a whole day just so that when I get on the scale, I'm a pound lighter. Does anybody else do that? And it doesn't work, you know. I go and I'm... Like I'll be going tomorrow to take my blood taken, you know, get a checkup, and I'll be trying not to eat anything this evening from 5 o'clock. Just drink water so when they check my blood, it's perfect. You know what I mean? You know, and they say, oh, we haven't found anything. Everything is well. Does anybody do it or it's just me, the Christian? Right? And so, you know, trust me, I'll be eating some spinach for my supper at 4, and I won't eat another thing again until they draw that blood tomorrow at 10:30. I'm hoping for a miracle, but you understand. But I really have not gone without food. As any of us, you know what the gospel says. Do not worry about what you eat. How many of us here can say we never had a place to sleep? That we were homeless. We didn't have a place to sleep. I don't mean that to be fancy, but we didn't have a bed to sleep in. Think of it that we do have a testimony, do we? Because we may think that is light and funny, but there are people who had good jobs and came out of relatively good homes. We're not talking about people who are paupers. They're folks who have hardship and sickness have come into their lives, and if they didn't have somebody who left them something, some of us are a little bit better off because somebody left us something and so we could live off it. There's some folks who have nobody to leave them anything, right? And everything they have, and you just want to be sick, and you have to spend a lot of money and you can't work, and then you don't have a place to sleep. Things happen. When you think of the goodness and the faithfulness of God, gospel says don't worry about what you eat or what you drink or what you wear. Huh? Because God has been what? Good to us. Amen. The goodness of God, he has been faithful to us. Our children, many of us have raised our children and they're doing pretty okay. Sometimes they're not, but God has been good to them. Much better off than many people we are. There are folks here right on Long Island who are suffering. You don't have to take a plane and go to Africa or South America. You don't have to go anywhere in particular. There's poverty right here. And we should sometimes look at our own lives. And sometimes when we think it's all about us, that we are the ones, I did this and I did this, there are many people who have done work much harder than we have ever worked in our lives and still end up on the other side because of circumstance and situation. God has been good to me. Can you say it this morning? God has been good to me. Not to me. I'm saying it for me. Say it again. God has been
good to me.
Oh, he has been good to us, I tell you. And even through problems, the songwriter says, he dried all my tears. You turned my midnight into days. Amen. So I just want to thank you, Lord. Yes, sickness comes and sorrow comes and we don't understand why they come and we don't want them to come. But listen, they will come because life is not just full of all joy. Life has its ups and downs. Sometimes the clouds are low. I can hardly see the road. I ask the Lord, Lord, why so much pain? But he has been good to me. You know, the writer of the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Thomas Chisholm, wrote this song as a testament of God's faithfulness through his ordinary life. He didn't have an extraordinary life in the standpoint of human understanding. He was born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky. And Chisholm became a Christian when he was 27 and entered the ministry when he was 36. He was going to be a United Methodist minister. And though poor health forced him to retire after just 1 year, he got sick. During the rest of his life, Chisholm spent many years living in New Jersey and working as a life insurance agent. Still, even with a desk job, he wrote nearly 1,200 poems throughout his life, including several published hymns, one being Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thomas Obadiah Chisholm had a difficult adult life. His health was so fragile that there were periods of time when he was confined to bed, unable to work. Between bouts of illness, he would have to push himself to put in extra hours at various jobs in order to make ends meet. After coming to Christ at the age of 27, Thomas found great comfort in the scriptures and in the fact that God was faithful to be his strength in time of illness and provide his needs. Lamentations 3:22-23 was one of his favorite scriptures. And it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's where that song comes out of Lamentations. Now, it is amazing that Chisholm, towards the end of his life, would say, my income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the early years, which has followed me up until now. Although I must not fail to record here that the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness. Just think, with each new day, God gives us the chance to prove his faithfulness. And throughout history, he has never once been proven wrong, for his mercies are new every morning, no matter what. Great is thy faithfulness. One would think that the writer of Great is Thy Faithfulness was some big, healthy man or woman who had great health, lots of money, life was wonderful, great education, a big house, perfect family. You know, I don't know if those things exist anymore, because even when we look perfect, we're not. You know what I'm saying? I says if folks ever know all of our stuff, we're not all that perfect. But you would think that his life was perfect. To write a hymn like Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. He understood that it was day by day that God's faithfulness will come upon him. Now, it is amazing that for Chisholm, he would choose Lamentations. Because Lamentations in the Old Testament is the only book that is all about lament. Do you know that's the only book that is all about lament? The other books that are of lament are like the Psalms have lament and then they have praise. And then all of the prophets, except for Haggai, all of the prophets write about lament. They're weeping. They're weeping for Israel. They're weeping for the destructions. Yet Lamentations is the only book, and that would touch this man's heart. Because great is thy faithfulness would speak to his heart. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I have needed, not all that I have wanted, but all that I have needed, thy very hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness unto me. That's what he was saying. He says, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their course above, join with all nature in manifold weakness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. The idea that God is faithful. And certainly pardon for sin and peace that endured. The fact that we are saved by God's grace. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today. You understood why he would write something like strength for today. A man who was suffering from illness. Each day you had to be reminded of God's, that he needed God. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, the book of Lamentations is unique in that Lamentation is said to have been written by Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Jeremiah wrote the book of Jeremiah and Lamentation, it said. And Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, if those words were really his, and most theologians believe it is, he wrote it when he saw terrible things. Terrible things were happening to the children of Israel. The destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. He saw Jerusalem being destroyed. The whole devastation and slaughter. There was a part where starving mothers were reduced to cannibalism. It was a terrible time. And the children of Israel were exiled. When you read Lamentations chapter 1 and 2, you saw the heaviness and the pain that Jeremiah would have seen. The suffering. People dragged off into Babylonian exile. Jeremiah was one of the prophets in Babylon, right? Babylonian, they would be there for over 70 years. And he saw that, and could you imagine that wonderful place of worship, Jerusalem, where they would go where the Spirit of the Lord is, because they did not believe the Spirit of the Lord was living in them. They had to go to the temple. The Spirit of the Lord was there. They didn't believe like we do now, because the Holy Spirit, Jesus hadn't come, and the Holy Spirit didn't come upon us, living in our hearts. For them, the worship in the temple at Jerusalem was where they would take the Ark of the Covenant and where they would meet God. And that was all destroyed. And yet he would write it, and when you read chapter 1 and chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, you get overwhelmed because it's this lament. Lament of what's happening to the people, the children dying, and so on. And then you get to chapter 3, and right into the middle of chapter 3, he's able to write. He's able, great is your faithfulness, your mercies are new every day. He could be able to see his hope was in the Lord. His hope was in the love of God. God's faithfulness, God's salvation, in spite of all evidence, to the contrary, his compassions never failed. And even though, you know, if you ask the prophet Jeremiah then, he probably would not have agreed what happened to the children of Israel. But he realized, by the time you get to 3:21, is when he would write it. Write chapter 3, 21, 24 to 25, that area. He would write those two lines about the faithfulness of God. Because he realized that in the midst of everything, God was still faithful. God is still faithful. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. And so this little song says, as I look over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. When we look over our life, there's another one in our book that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. have learned to trust in God, the faithfulness of God. This is a fruit of the Spirit that we are designed to have. So because God is faithful to us, we need to be faithful to God and the things of God. Amen. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit, because God has been faithful to us. You know, many of us here who are here in this place, and maybe some of us who are struggling without jobs and so, but many of us can find a few dollars, can't we? If we need to pick up a few dollars, we take wonderful trips. Some of us are always going. Some of us are not going as often. But we could. God has blessed us to take. It's a blessing from the Lord. The faithfulness of God. Lovely clothes. I could speak on that. Shopping each time I go, new ring, another new little ring, something. You know, and I know Kathy is smiling. She's another shopper. We pick up things. Some of us, we see things. I tell Zamzam, if I buy another, each time I buy a ring or a cross, I got to give another one away to somebody because I feel bad. You know what I mean. I says, oh God, I just picked up two more crosses at this. I got to find something and give to another person so that I don't feel so bad, because you know what happened? Got a couple of dollars. You know what I mean? May not be all that much, but a couple. Zamzam, you have a couple. You're still waiting. She's waiting for me to give her something. She keeps saying, what am I going to give her? Every time I come with a new cross, she says, Pastor, I'm still waiting for you to give me something. I says, I can't give away the crosses, Zamzam. I give away everything else, the bracelets.
Okay, Pastor, no problem.
She'll take it, see? But the faithfulness of God has been good, right? Because we could afford these little luxuries beyond our need. Because do I need a bracelet or some earrings or a chain to live? No. These are my wants that God has provided. Beyond my need, beyond our need. Great is His faithfulness. Sometimes we forget His faithfulness because we have become so self-sufficient, we believe. It's not only just to go to God to pray when we're sick and ask for healing. It's to be able to go to God and give Him thanks for His faithfulness of being with us through good times and bad times. To take the opportunity to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being good. You've been so good. Have you ever just get up some days and everything is just clicking and you don't look so bad? You look in the mirror and you say, thank you, Lord. I'm not looking all that bad and I feel good and things. Does anybody ever do that? It's just me. Maybe I'm narcissistic. Am I? Because every now and then one looks at oneself and says, not bad. Not bad, God. You know, it's looking better today. You know, I was dressed up to go to a little thing for my grandbaby on Wednesday. She was graduating. I don't know why they graduate every year now. From somewhere. They graduate from kindergarten to first grade. I says, can you spell graduation? Please tell me if you could spell graduation. So they graduate cap and gown from kindergarten, for heaven's sake, it's a money-making thing. Then you have to buy the pictures, and you have to buy the book, and you have to buy the cap and gown. Why in God's name do we have to do that? But I was there, and they were all dressed up. I thought, this cost me. I told Zamzam that after I got done, she and we all, and my daughter's friends were there, and they says, my grandbaby says, Grandma, it's time to eat. We have to go to a restaurant. I end up going for graduation. When I got done, the whole thing cost me a few hundred dollars. I said, why? I told Zamzam, why? Why? This child has not even gone to grammar school yet. Do you understand how things are happening? But God is faithful. So I could go out to eat. I won't be able to go out to eat for months with them. But you know, the faithfulness of God. Do you see? And sometimes we need to take a time and look at the small things. The gifts that God has given us. Every now and then, I sit and I reflect as a little girl from the Caribbean, you know, who came from a little island, that God would have blessed me and used me, give me the things I have. I am so grateful to Him. You know how many folks in the Caribbean who never, just as smart as I am and smarter, and look better, and yet, when I go back, I see some of them lives are in such mess. And I says, oh, thank you, God, for your faithfulness to me. Huh? I am grateful. And so today, when we look at that fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness, when we realize that God has been faithful, taking care of us. And then, you know what's important? I want God to continue to be faithful to my daughter, Tiffany, and to my grandbaby, Maddie, and any other child or grandchild I may have. I want that faithfulness and goodness of God to be continued. Amen. Forever and ever, all generations. I pray for that all the time. So I want to be faithful to God. I want that fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness to grow in my heart, so I am faithful to God, so that this blessing will fall on my children and grandchildren for generations to come. That's why we do it. I'm planting seed, right? And so because God is faithful, we want to also be good. How do we do that? We do that through our serving our church, through doing what we can because we are faithful, to try to find new ways to do God's work and to grow God's church. And we don't give up. We just finished reading that book about the revival. And at the end, it told us how John Wesley was beaten. You know, Daphne was reading for us. I made Daphne read. I said, because John Wesley was British and you were British, let's speak in a British voice. And she reads beautifully in the British, you know, sound, and they say the word so lovely, you just keep listening, even when you... And she read about John Wesley. The writer said John Wesley was beaten, they threw things at him, threw him in jail, and all of that, and it just, and all the terrible things he went through because he was spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at one point, as she was reading it, we all realized, this seems like Paul. We didn't realize that John Wesley went through all of that because he was doing something different in England. He was preaching outside, and that was not what he was used to, and the upper elite, they were not used to that from his culture, not so much of money, but of education, and that structure came out of the priesthood. They never understood it, but he would preach outside to thousands, but he went through hell. They banned him from going to the churches and so on. But he never gave up. Because he says God had been what? Faithful to him. Faithful to him. This is a man whose their house was burnt down and they nearly died. And he lost many brothers and sisters. But the faithfulness of God was so important to him that he never gave up. And that's why we have Methodism now. He would serve God till he was 80-something years old. And they said he died a good death. One of those folks who lay down, and as he was singing, the Lord took him home to be with him. Great is thy faithfulness. So church, the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness and goodness is something that we have to aspire to. Why? Because God has been good to us. Think of the little things. Think of your children, all of you here who have. Think of how God has provided for you. And for them and your grandchildren, just think on it, that we have cars to drive. Did you all see the story about Detroit where that man was walking miles to work back and forth in Detroit? Did you see it? And somebody noticed him walking how many miles every day. It took him 3-4 hours to get to work. He'd be up early in the morning and walked miles just to get to the one job. Because that's all he had. He couldn't afford a car. And the story went online. Somebody saw it. Some reporter was seeing that man walking every day. Miles. I mean, and he got to his work. And after he finished a day's work, he had to walk another 4 hours back. And guess what? He went online. And God bless America. People gave and gave online over $100,000 to buy him a car. They bought the car and did whatever.
Praise God.
The faithfulness of God will provide when we least expect it. So church, this morning, I want to encourage you and I want to give you all a testimony. So the gospel, as I close, says, therefore, brothers and sisters, the Lord says this morning, do not worry about your life, what you eat or what you drink, or about your body, what you wear. Lord knows we are not worrying about what we eat or what we drink here. Right? We know there have been times that might have happened to someone. But we are not worrying anymore. Thanks be to God, he has provided for us a food pantry. You know, so we don't have to worry. So the Lord says, don't worry about what you eat. Which one of us here is worried about what we eat or what we drink today? If you are, let us know because we'll do something about it. Won't we, church? If somebody has no food this morning in this place, Tell me in secret. We'll tell somebody. We'll take care of it. We will do that. But what you wear, we'll find a way to give you something. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? And Jesus reminds us, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you and me not more valuable than they to God? Are we not more valuable than the birds of the field that he's going to take care of us? Oh, glory to God this morning. And so, he says, and can any of us by worrying add a single hour to the span of our life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. You know, the Solomon beautiful temple. Jesus is saying, as beautiful as Solomon temple is that is now destroyed, it cannot look more as beautiful as the lilies of the field that the Lord will grow. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you and me?
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, church. He's good. Our God is good. Is life perfect? No. Don't we have sickness and problems? Yes. Do we have ups and downs? But even in our sickness, how many of us here can say, if I'm sick, I could go to a doctor? Some folks don't have insurance. Some of us have more insurance than we need. God has been good to us. And so we want to be faithful people. People who realize that, and then we're thankful. And we go beyond being grateful. We're thankful because God is good. He's good all the time. And all the time, God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So we give him thanks, and our response is, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. Go ahead, Sam.
Faith Missing 2053.